It's time for those folks from the Great White North in South County of Massachusetts, and it's time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com. Of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, while there's internet service. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello. We have our internet restored, and we actually did write to you at about 2 in the morning. So
We got that.
That had the number on it.
I was just saying, what is Marcy doing up at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, right, trying to write to you.
Did another event in Germantown. No, I'm joking. But or it was the opera, as Marshall said. But no, we tied it all together, and... we're very glad to have you, and good work.
Thank you.
Well, I sent you the lineup.
And yes, I've got the lineup right here.
Yes, David, you omitted
and
me.
And David, I love the way
yes,
you sent...
Yes, he did omit
what?
You.
I love the way you sent the lineup attaching the links, because when we put that up on your podcast, people can directly click on the links right of the podcast.
Okay.
Oh, great.
To go to the stories.
Good.
All right.
Yeah. So that's
I didn't put the... What didn't I put in there?
You didn't put me in there.
You didn't send it to Jill, that's all.
Yes, he didn't
Well,
have
I didn't have your email.
Well, that'll work.
I was at home. I went to a place where I had Verizon rather than the cable spectrum. So
Marshall has three backups.
Okay.
All right.
That's right. Yeah, I have three backups
for
this
very event.
All right.
So. Yes. Well, now we learn how completely dependent we are.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yes.
No. We are held hostage to the services.
And
I'm
having monopoly issues anyway, so that's nice.
Yes.
Not good.
Yeah,
there is that.
Yes.
All right, well, let's go right to the stories.
Okay.
Monument Mountain.
Yes.
Oh, the senior. It's Monument Mountain Regional High School senior. Well, Great Barrington has been celebrating the 150th anniversary of the birth of W.E.B. Du Bois, the founder of the NAACP and a widely acclaimed African-American writer and author and scholar and thinker, and who went to school in Great Barrington and then went on to Harvard.
And Fisk.
Right. But the town has been celebrating his birthday, and a senior at the high school, Sophie Schron, got together with her colleagues at the Railroad Street Youth Project and produced some murals, which are now gracing the walls of Great Barrington, an alleyway in Great Barrington, and they're quite beautiful. So we did a story about her. She's quite something. The murals are quite beautiful, actually.
Yeah, and we have pictures on our site, of course. But, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, the sort of ambivalence that the town of Great Barrington has had had toward its most famous son, who, you know, was supported by members of the Congregational Church when he was growing up, and they actually paid his college tuition. And then later in his life, when he became a communist and left the United States,
In frustration, right?
The town turned against him, and now little by little, it's coming back to celebrate him. And there have been lots of events, and so this is a really beautiful mural. And Scholastic magazine and Scholastic books presented an award to this young woman from this Monument Mountain senior.
Yeah.
So she's gotten national recognition for this work, which is great.
Yep.
All right. Well, we will go from W.E.B. Du Bois. Now we're talking about marijuana wars, kind of not like you see.
This is from the sublime to the ridiculous. Yeah.
Not like you see in Columbia, but still marijuana.
That's our own very small Berkshire version.
This is a Great Barrington. Very civilized.
I want to be a mule.
Yeah, you want to be a mule. You can come to Great Barrington, right, and with your, you can take your stuff from here to Connecticut.
Right. Anyway.
Seriously,
folks.
Well, yeah. Great Barrington, like other towns, is coping with how to deal with the fact that marijuana can be sold, and where
in Massachusetts.
And the question is, where in the town it these outlets to big marijuana available will be located. And the issue in Great Barrington is who has authority over the siting of these shops. And the select board and the planning board are squabbling over it, and it's quite amusing, actually, although it got quite heated. And that's what that's what our story reports. And it's it's interesting that this has all come back to some sort of cultural divide between people who feel like, yeah, okay, this is sort of like citing a package store, and others who feel a little bit more nervous about where marijuana should be available. It wasn't so long ago in Great Barrington. In fact, it was in 2004, so it was 14 years ago, that, you know, the parking lot in Great Barrington, in back of the cinema, 25 kids were arrested for in a great big sting operation by
Capeless.
DA Capeless. Were arrested for, you know, having pot on them. So, so times have changed.
Well, you know, and to illustrate, you know, David's point about the difference of opinion, I mean, one of the planning board chair. I should back up. There is a proposal. You know, we have these old mills in Housatonic. They were old textile mills, and they're really just lying empty. They're beautiful old buildings, but nobody is investing in maintaining them. And, you know, eventually they're just going to collapse. But there is a proposal that they should be turned in. They should be used for growing marijuana indoors because, you know, they'll be revitalized. You don't have to do a lot of work on them. They don't have to meet certain codes, and they can just be used for growing indoors. And so, you know, one planning board member said his dream is that the Housatonic mills will get reused as growing facilities, and a select board member said, that may be your dream, but it's my nightmare. So those are the two. There we have it
in a nutshell.
Right.
Yeah.
The next time they sit there to negotiate, everybody should just bring a big marijuana joint and pass it along. They can all come to agreement very quickly and then go out and get some pizza.
Yeah, right, because they'll be hungry.
That's exactly
well,
right.
The thing is that in public buildings, you know, there's no smoking allowed, so...
there's no inhaling allowed. No,
but there are, you know, all kinds of creative,
you know,
things.
It shows how
on.
Old you are with I don't inhale.
Yeah.
I never
inhale. Right. Don't inhale, right.
That's right.
but you know, there are all, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, there are all kinds of discussions about where marijuana is going to be grown, we talked earlier, there's a big fight going on in New Marlborough. Somebody has a huge piece of property that they want to use for growing marijuana, and the town is fighting it. So it's going to be interesting, but clearly two different perspectives on this.
All right, let's go to the next story, and that is climate change. I was just talking about this. People forget, you know, they're talking about the snow we got last night. And
yeah,
I went back through my pictures on Facebook, and do you realize 2 years ago on this date we had a lot of snow? And 4 years ago on this date we also had snow.
And in 1992, with the April surprise, I'm going, like, it's just.
So I think, you know, climate change really comes to light when you can take a look at historical pictures.
Right.
Well, I mean, those would seem to be, you know, arguing for global cooling rather than global warming. But, you know, you have to look at the overall temperature rise and the ocean level rise, too. You know, maybe Mar-a-Lago will be underwater soon. Who knows? I mean, one can only hope. I mean, I would love to see President Trump, you know, in a bathing suit in a kayak meeting with Japan's Prime Minister Abe, you know,
on a raft, right?
Actually, we can start with Scott Pruitt first.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we could. Yeah, well, I'd say feed him to the sharks, but in any case. Let's not. I guess we shouldn't go there.
This is a news show.
All right.
Yeah,
so we'll
the
news
sharks. Well, they are already circling him. That's for sure. But in any case, up in Pittsfield, the climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann was there on Friday, talking to a crowd of students about climate change and what they, as students and future voters, could do. And I think the kids get this. it may spell some trouble for the fossil fuel industry. In any case, that's our story was written by an environmental lawyer, actually, or an environmental lawyer to be, Dana Drugman. And it's quite interesting to see here. Hear the great response from the students themselves. We have a video of them, of the students talking about what climate change means for them. Of course, it's their future,
right.
You know, that's at risk.
Right. And this is a very interesting presentation that Michael Mann gave. You know, and not only talking about the storms, but also talking about the political ramifications, he points out that extreme weather is leading to drought in certain parts of the world, and the instability and terror in Syria is linked to an unprecedented drought that drove rural farmers into crowded urban areas, exacerbating tensions and resource conflicts. So. You know, it's not just that it rains more or snows more, but this is going to have, you know, political and demographic ramifications all over the world.
The geopolitical effects.
The geopolitical effects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
We'll go on to the Railroad Street Youth Project. I like these this partnership that they have with the Center for Motivation and Change for Parents.
Yeah.
Well, the... like other areas, the Berkshires are suffering from concerns about opioid addiction, and so there are they're partnering with Railroad Street Youth Project. Railroad Street Youth Project again, another story about kids here and students. Partnering with an organization in New Marlborough, the Center for Motivational Change, to offer a series of discussions for parents who may be concerned about their kids. And so this is a very positive way of attempting to deal with the problem before it gets out too far out of hand. And it's an interesting coalition. It not only includes... the Railroad Street Youth Project, but it also it concerns one of the Railroad Street Youth Project's committees on dealing with community health. So this is a positive sign for
yeah, and this
for
is
the
a
community.
Great organization, the Railroad Street Youth
Project.
Yeah, it
Project. Is. Sure
and
is.
It has a clubhouse, and it does all kinds of programs, and it's a terrific place for kids to go.
Yep.
Now,
for teens to go.
We only have time because the story I wanted to get are the last two stories about the students from Simon's Rock on the anniversary and the march, and then how you're participating in this.
Oh, well, on the 20th. On Friday is the anniversary of the Columbine shooting. There's a nationwide student walkout where students are going to leave class and in protest over the availability of guns and assault weapons to the public in the United States. And Simon's Rock students are organizing a march from the library to town hall in support of gun control and in sympathy with the Parkland shooting last month in which 17 people were massacred. Yeah. And I just got a notice that Berkshire Country Day School also is there. It's an elementary school, is also walking out. And, of course, what's interesting is that, and perhaps unfortunate, is that a lot of the public schools are on vacation this week.
They can't walk out.
Well, they can join a march, but they're not going to be able to leave class.
But we, when you asked about the Berkshire, how we're participating, we were one of the sponsors of a film that was shown at the Mahiwi on Sunday. It's called The Children's March, and it was done by an Oscar-winning documentary short done by a Great Barrington resident named Bobby Houston, who is an activist, a progressive activist. And this was really a very moving film about the Children's March in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, where thousands of students, I mean, I didn't know the details of this, and many of us may not remember who were around in 1960, but this was the incident with Bull Connor, who the sheriff whose name we probably do remember, but thousands of students marched against segregation, and they were, you know, kids that starting at 4 or 5 years old, and the whole idea was to clog up the system, and so thousands of them were arrested. They walked out of the Ebony, oh, not the Ebony, but the church where eventually four little girls were bombed. But that was the center, that was the gathering point, and they would walk into the back of the church, and they would walk out the front in groups of 50, and the police were standing there, you know, and every time they thought that they had, you know, arrested the first 50, another 50 would come out, and this was going on. The first day, there were something like 900 children arrested. The next day, there were something like 1,700 children arrested. I mean, they just kept coming, and, you know, eventually, the system couldn't deal with them anymore.
They changed the course. They really changed the course of
integration in Alabama. Yeah. And then President Kennedy got involved, and you know, they made great progress.
You know, it's funny. I was 8 years old at the time, 8 to 9 years old, and I was aware of the protests, and I knew of the protests because my father made us follow news.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I sit back now at 65, and you think of the emotional strength and the lack of fear that they had. To do this.
I think it was because they were kids that they didn't really know what they were dealing with. The adults, Martin Luther King. This is the time in which he wrote his letter from the Birmingham jail. I mean, he came there thinking that there would be a big march, and he was almost alone and got arrested. And when he came back out, it was the children who organized to come out. And they thought it was a great party. I mean, they were going in to get arrested. And, you know, one day Bull Connor turned on the fire hoses, and the next day the kids came back in bathing suits. So they were, you know, it was a great adventure for them. And, you know, few of them were hurt, luckily. The police restrained themselves, at least, to that, except for, you know, there were pictures of these fire hoses. One girl just being, she was kind of sliding along the sidewalk, but from the force of the water on her. Now, I'm sure she was, you know, scraped and scratched. But by and large, these kids weren't hurt. They were all arrested, and now he interviewed a number of them looking back at what they did. You know, they were kind of amazed that they had done this and thrilled to have been part of this. So this is all the point about how the children, this is, the documentary is called The Children's March, and really what children can do. So,
all right,
as
right,
background to right, the walkout this Friday.
Right, at the, we've got about 30 seconds, but I want someone to plug the, because we've talked about this on this radio station before, Mumbet, Elizabeth Freeman.
Yeah, right.
So we've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
They're making a film about Mumbet and at the Colonel Ashley House in Sheffield. And this is it's based on a book that two authors in Great Barrington, in the Berkshires, did about her life. And
she was the first slave to win her freedom in Massachusetts.
Yep. And she overheard Colonel Ashley talking about the new, back in like 1789, talking about the, you know, the new Massachusetts state constitution in which everybody was free. And she piped up and said, "What about me?"
And right. her
so-called owner, Colonel Ashley, who was an attorney, said, "You know, you're right. What about you?" So he went about, and the cold case went to the Supreme Judicial Court in Massachusetts, and indeed she was freed.
Right.
All right.
So good note to
to
finish up on.
All right, guys. we hope you keep your internet service, and we'll speak to you next
too.
Week.
We do. It's
many
back.
Thanks.
Right. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That is This Week in the Berkshire Edge, on air here on Robin Hood Radio.